welcome to the True Talk Cafe podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so excited you're here. Our podcast will tackle a myriad of topics, ranging from relationships to personal development and everything in between. My name is Renee Stewart, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Anna Garcia, Carla DeCore, and Lolly Ramirez Bennett. Collectively, we span four generations. Can you believe that? We've all experienced ups and downs in our personal lives and professional careers that have qualified us to share our unique perspectives with you, and we're excited to do so. But before we get into today's content, I wanted to let you know where you can find us on social media. On Instagram and Facebook, you can use @TrueTalkCafe, and on Twitter, you can use @TrueTalkCafe1. Don't forget to like us, rate us, and leave a review. We value your feedback. We want to ensure that we are providing content that resonates with you. So please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you listen to your podcast. Spoiler alert, you will want to stay tuned to hear what our guests are going to share about this exciting topic today. Also, stick around to find out how you can join us on a live show. We would love to have you join us on one of our episodes. Now, let's get started. Hi, welcome to the True Talk Cafe podcast. We're glad that you're able to join us tonight. I have one question for you. How has AI changed the way you work? Well, at this point, I don't really know of anyone that is not somewhat familiar with this new technology that has changed how we live, work, and play. In today's episode, we're calling AI for the win. We're going to discuss advances in AI technologies that have not only helped fuel an explosion in efficiency, but opened the door to entirely new business opportunities. I'm going to hand it over to Carla.
All right. So I guess the question is, have you used AI? So do you know that maybe you are already using AI and don't even know it? It's surprising to see that so many people don't even realize that they're already using AI. Some examples of how you may be already using AI and don't know it is that there are virtual assistants. Those are AI-powered virtual assistants such as Siri, Alexa, and others that help us with tasks, setting reminders, making calls, sending messages, and providing information. There's also personalized recommendations. AI algorithms are used by many online services, including streamlined platforms like Netflix and Spotify, to provide personalized recommendations that we love to see on TV, right? I want to see that show because I saw it come up on my feed. Then we have the smart home devices. AI-powered devices such as the smart thermostats, lighting, and security systems can learn our preferences and adjust settings accordingly, making our homes more comfortable and secure. And then in healthcare, AI is used to improve healthcare in various ways, including diagnosing medical conditions, predicting disease outbreaks, and developing new treatments. And then traffic. We all hate traffic, right? But AI is also in traffic. There are algorithms that are used to optimize traffic flow and reduce congestion in cities, helping save time and reduce emissions. And finally, another example is just in personalized learning. AI-powered educational platforms can adapt to individual learning styles and provide personalized learning experiences for students. And I am in education, and I'll tell you that in education, we also are using AI. In many ways, some institutions are also using AI to use it for admissions and review admissions applications and essays and things of that nature. So AI is being used in a lot of different ways. So let's dig into this AI conversation a little deeper. Anna, would you mind getting us started?
Absolutely. So guys, we're going to have some questions going around. And I do want to start by prefacing something. A lot of people are thinking AI is something new, is something that has recently started, when in fact, AI has artificial intelligence has been around since the 1950s. So it is something that has been igniting a lot of passionate conversations back then. There have been some very strong messaging around artificial intelligence, including icons like Bill Gates in 2015. He expressed grave concern and wonder why others hadn't caught on to the dangers of unchecked AI. In 2018, Elon Musk actually also mentioned about how AI could potentially destroy humanity and become a superintelligent, immortal, and inescapable dictator. So these are their quotes. This is information that has been going on and around. So we're going to go and dig a little bit deeper, explore it. I know Lolly and I have been on some email threads where there's a lot of AI conversation and discussion and the work that we do. But hey, guys, first of all, let's start with what is artificial intelligence and how does it work? Who wants to take a stab at that question first?
Anna, I will. I think that to your point, you know, it's been around forever. And a couple of things that come to mind right away is, you know, when we do texting, nowadays you can use your voice recognition and prompting. I mean, some of those things, even before you say something, it actually pops up and you need to make sure you're checking what you're doing, right? But it's a matter of kind of anticipating what you're looking for. Another type of AI that I recently used and realized for me was a very good education was, I forget what app it is, but it's basically you could take a picture and make it a headshot, a professional looking headshot, right? But you have to make sure you're looking at it very closely, because when you look at your end product, you may have three hands, six fingers or something of that nature. So again, it's a bit of taking something that's yours or partially yours and enhancing it to what you want to be the end product. I think the big task that goes with that is to make sure that you always double check and make sure that what you end up with is what you're looking for. And that's where some of the biggest problems or potential problems can be. But you said it, I think Carla was the one who said the Alexa. I hadn't thought of that as being AI, but yeah, it is. It's doing the stuff that we're asking it to do all the time.
A lot of people are using ChatGPT. I know I use it sometimes. Mm-hmm. So kind of like how Lolly stated, it's kind of taking something that you have and making it better. So typically, if I want to write an email that I want it to be more in-depth about something, or maybe I'm not feeling so positive and I want AI to help me make it a little bit more positive and friendly, because that's not how I'm feeling. I write it exactly how I feel it. I put it in ChatGPT and I say, make it more friendly or make it softer. And it comes back with something much better. So it uses kind of like your behaviors or things that, something that you essentially provided to make it better for you based on saved data that it has. It's pretty awesome.
I keep thinking, guys, about those movies we watched back in the days. Remember where the robots were taking over? So I want to give you a more textbook definition of what artificial intelligence or AI is. It's basically computer systems that can perform tasks commonly associated with human cognitive function, such as interpreting speech, playing games, and identifying patterns. And typically, AI systems learn how to do so by processing massive amounts of data and looking for patterns to model in their own decision-making. So when you think about it, AI is just really all of the data that we're inputting into our day-to-day computers, everything that we submit, everything that it's picking up. Unlike human beings, machines can totally process massive amounts of data. So it's taking the massive amounts of data from so many different individuals. And one thing to keep in mind as we're going through today's conversation is that when you think of AI, it's only as good as a programmer. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something we're going to talk about, some concerns about why we shouldn't relate to it, but make it as much a part of our lives as, you know, it's almost like an infinite thing. We have to be very, very used in moderation, like a lot of great things. I do think it's a great tool, but I also think it could be a self-sabotage kind of tool. But that's my personal experience. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. I do want to share there are different types of AI. And Carla kind of gave us a great list of it, right? There's the reactive machines, there's the limited memory, there's a theory of mind, and then there's self-awareness. So those are the four different types of AI, and we're going to go through a lot of that today. So yes, and I know, Renee, I think you wanted to add something. I saw you nodding, so I'll shut up now and let you go.
The bottom line is, you know, the AI programming, it's focusing on three cognitive skills, as you guys had mentioned. It's the learning, the reasoning, and then the self-correction, right? And as Don was saying here in the chat, is that it's learning about how and what you say. And the more you type, the more it captures your writing style, and in some cases, the way that you think. So, you know, right on, Don. Thank you for sharing that. And we were talking about there's advantages and disadvantages to AI. So let's kind of explore what those advantages and disadvantages of AI there are. Who would like to start us off?
I know that there's no doubt one of the biggest advantages is the fact that it becomes very efficient, right? You're able to do things that you never thought you could do without much effort. There is, from a business perspective, that in itself would mean that you're able to do things quicker, faster, hopefully with greater quality, because it is a repetitive function. So I think that's one of the big advantages that comes in is just the saving of time. It also, I think something that I was talking with somebody about earlier, it does help eliminate some of the biases. When we think about the AI that is currently being used when you're looking for a job or when people are trying to recruit people, it's not looking at who it is, it's looking at what's being provided. And so it does help eliminate some of the biases. But again, with everything that you put in there comes the opposite side of that, right? So the streamlining, the saving time, that you're looking at the potential job loss in that respect, right? That's kind of one of the disadvantages that one would think. Now, I think that you have to be fair in that respect, because quite honestly, like anything that you can automate, you usually have to put now a different level of quality checks into things. So while there may be some general job loss, there might be some other things that weren't considered up front too. And then I think, unfortunately, sometimes you run the risk of almost it's a black and white situation and you don't have the emotions or the creativity that one could add. So I think that when you're talking about utilizing AI, that's the piece that I think, you know, I mentioned earlier, you need to come back in and put your personal touch into things to help in that respect.
I love it. You know, I want to add to that. So some of the advantages I can think of right off the bat is how many of us experience writer's block, right? Or we experience just blocks. And I have gone to ChatGPT and say, hey, give me some ideas to start whatever. I have been very careful in how much I leverage AI because I don't want to sound like everybody else. But the line of work that I do when it comes to career coaching, when it comes to understanding the industry and the competitiveness of the job market today, I saw some statistics that were shared on some of these email threads I'm talking about. And some of them, I was very like disappointed. One of them, it says job seekers use ChatGPT 75% for research. I mean, come on, guys, let's do a little bit deeper research than that. And then it says some of them use it to write emails, right? But 51% use it to complete assessment. And that kind of disappoints me because then now we're looking at skewed assessment results. Now we're looking at not having the talent aligned like we think it is. I do like the fact that it eliminates some of those biases organically, but some of them, it's skewing the process and it's hurting and impacting those that are truly skilled and truly qualified. One of the other statistics said some 37% say they use it during an interview. I mean, so that means they have that tool going during an interview. And how ready are you for the role if you have to use the tool to answer the questions? So those are some of the statistics that I saw today that I would feel are also, you know, some disadvantages to it. Of course, one of the huge disadvantages that it's kind of like the elephant in the room is that there are no standards for the technology use. AI risk management is just a threat for a lot. There's also been some talks of the United Nations trying to urge other world leaders to develop one of a global standard or framework, right? Because it is so just obscure. There's so many gray areas. So as black and white as it is, when it comes to, like Lolly mentioned, when we use it or not, the use ramifications and implications are so gray. I mean, there's just so much in there. So I would see some of those as being the disadvantages and risks, because there's a lot of risk associating to the unknown, right? A lot of people are going in there. I just did a career chat last month and we were talking about a lot of the benefits around ChatGPT, some of these other ones, to being able to navigate a job search, but also using it sparingly almost. You know, you don't want to just go full-fledged in it, But guys, I learned about this other AI tool. It's called Crystal Knows, like the girl knows. So that I'm just saying it knows. And you can copy somebody's LinkedIn profile link in there, and it'll tell you how that person prefers to be approached. Now, I haven't tried it. I want to go try it with my own to see if it's true. But there's just so much AI out there that everyone's using. And I'm like, I've got to go, you know, check it out. And I got to be checking it out because I have candidates from all different industry backgrounds that I'm working with. I have clients from all backgrounds that I'm working with. And I have to know, I have to keep up with this. And it's one of those things like, I don't like everything I'm learning, but man, some of this stuff is cool and others is very scary. So, I mean, there's a lot when it comes to advantages, disadvantages. I think there's just so much in there. And I would love to hear, like, Carla and Renee, some of your views on that.
Let me add very quickly, because you mentioned, you know, how they're using it for assessment. I teach a class, right, online, and I was teaching a class on organizational leadership. And one of the students submitted a paper, an essay that I knew he had used AI of some form. And the reason how I know it is, without running it through any of those systems that we use for plagiarism, I just knew by reading it because his writing style was very different than what he submitted. And there are keywords that typically ChatGPT will bring up that you can tell when they use that. So I think the personalization is an advantage, but also a disadvantage. It's a disadvantage because we are missing the personal style that makes you who you are, makes you unique. And some of those that people that have read maybe your essays or emails, or they know your vocabulary, will know if that is not something that you typically use. But for those of us that English is a second language, it is also an advantage because it does help you expand your vocabulary. So I have been able to find a happy medium between the two where I'm able to get some ideas on vocabulary that I can use in different conversations or things that I'm doing. But at the same time, you know, I want to make sure that it still has my voice when it comes across. So I think we just have to find that happy medium.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think what happens is we become a little lazy and, you know, I'm right there with you. So when I'm, you know, need to do a proposal or business plan or something of that nature, I do go to ChatGPT just to, you know, get a skeleton to start me off. Just because you have so many things that you're trying to get done in a timely manner, it does help in that way. But it also, as you alluded to, Carla, that it can erode your key skills, you know, because you're not thinking. I mean, Don had put in here about it's just like the cell phone, right? Do you guys remember any of your telephone numbers, right? I remember the key ones, but I used to know like a lot of telephone numbers. I do not know a lot of telephone numbers now because I have the cell phone right there. So this is, you know, similar. It's kind of along the lines of that. And you just pop it in there and it could generate several different versions, whether it's formal, friendly, humorous. I mean, you kind of have to love that, right? Just a couple more of benefits. Faster product development. Now, businesses love that, right? Because there's a shorter development cycle and it reduces the time between the design and the commercialization for a quicker ROI. Who doesn't love that, right? But on the flip side of that, and I think, Anna, you alluded to this, there's unethical and unintended practices, right? That can lead to discrimination cases. And in the HR world where I kind of play, they're really looking at that because when you are creating your model around AI, if you're going to use it, you do have to make sure you know what those inputs are because it still could create a bias. So, I mean, people are still looking at that and playing with that. And just one more thing, the AI errors themselves. Right? Because while AI can eliminate human error, it also, you know, can create errors in itself. And that's a lot of data, a lot of transactions. So the algorithm can go kind of wonky, right? And then you have all kinds of errors right there. That could cost a lot of money. I'll shift it over to you, Lally.
Sure. You know, one last thing I'm going to throw in here from a disadvantage is something I was reading on last week is that, unfortunately, women as a whole have been kind of lax in really getting their hands around AI. And what the fear is that within, 8 to 10 years, women will have a disadvantage when it comes to the marketplace, looking for jobs, even being able to compete within jobs because of the lack of ability to really work with and understand AI. So I'm going to say, being the woman's advocate, I have to do that call out. I challenge each of us to step up the game and encourage others to learn and understand how to best use this. I don't say that it's a replacement, but I think it is certainly something that we need to understand and not stay behind on. So we talked about some of the types of AIs that are available. Any ideas on how some of those things, each of those types is used? Renee, you had the list. Do you want to start off with the first one?
Yeah, sure. Well, it can be used in, say, financial services is one of the ones that I have down. So where it's transforming how banks are operating, right, and how customers bank. As it is, most of us do not go into a bank. And I believe they charge you if you talk to a teller anyway.
Yeah.
So I know I don't go into a bank. But yeah, just the customer service aspect of it, not just in banking, but customer service overall. I know we're looking at AI. I don't think we've adopted it yet for our customers when they come to our website and to be able to incorporate, the AI functionality in there. So when they start to put in kind of destinations or the type of container that they need and the type of goods that they need to ship, they could use, the AI functionality. We're not there yet. I know they're looking at it, but that's going to be save a lot of time for our booking agents. A lot of time. Carla?
The other thing I was going to say, there is also a website for building a resume. It's called Kick Resume. And that one is also using AI to help you build the entire resume, cover letter, everything. It's very helpful and you can use some of it. You don't have to use all of it, AI on all of your resume. There's also Perplexity.ai. There's Copilot from Microsoft. That's also an app that you can download. Gemini is also another app that you can download and use. So there's a lot of things that we can definitely use. I know that some of the things that we've been talking about in higher education on how we can use AI is also to create processes. So typically creating training manuals can be very time consuming, right? Mm-hmm. But AI has helped us expedite that significantly. You literally just put the basics and it will create the entire process for you. So there's definitely a lot of advantages in how you should be using it.
Yeah, I wanted to pop in here just to, Mimi had put in the chat that she felt that the AI system would depersonalize the job search experience. And she's correct in saying that.
You know, that's one of the things. So I work with a lot of candidates and it's very easy to try to go to the AI tools for the resume because there's so many. There are over 15 resume applications that are using AI right now that I've come across in the past 3 weeks alone.
Oh, wow.
That's only the ones that I've come across. So I cannot imagine the ones we don't know about, right?
Right.
And one of the things I tell my candidates, like, no. We're not going to go to AI unless we get stuck. So I have a very lengthy process. And guys, if y'all were to see some of my resumes, they look like the different color rainbow pens threw up on them because I make notes. I'm talking through them. A resume is a very personal thing. Mm-hmm. And in reality, you have a lot more skills than an AI machine can pull up for you. You just need to talk about them and you need to be comfortable talking about them. So I always say, take the time to sit down with your coach or individually, whatever it is, whoever you're talking to, and go through your job, your jobs and the roles that you've held. Tell the story of what made you happy or what you enjoyed or what it did. Let's come up with those sentences together. Then if one of them doesn't flow correctly, then we can take that one or two bullets and put it in ChatGPT and say, rewrite resume bullets to highlight impact. And then that way it does flow a little bit better. And I've had to do that, but I would never, ever, ever go to AI for a resume because then We saw today it could bump your resume from a 31% match to a 91% match. But do you also want to land a job where you're really not a good fit and you're going to be struggling and have to be on the job search again in 2 or 3 months? You know, like,
right.
It's so much information that can be gotten from it, but there's so much damage that can be done. And when you think about AI, yes, it does eliminate some of the biases, but it also, I think, can read what we're putting in there. So if you put your resume in there from scratch, guess what? Some of those biases are going to be reflected on there. So it's very, very easy to get lost in that or go down that rabbit hole when it comes to that. There's so many tools also when it comes to just understanding some of the different ways to use AI, right? So I encourage you go to LinkedIn. They recently just posted 250 LinkedIn learning courses that are free on how to leverage AI. Go in and explore. Don't do it just because everybody else is doing it. If it makes sense for you, then hey, it makes sense for you. But let's not jump on this bandwagon because everybody else is doing it, because then it could hurt you. And at the end of the day, the truth will always come out. So if a company takes you on because of the skills that you put on there, it's going to know. And I see Don's question on here. Do you use AI for interviewing your candidates or part of the interviewing process? I would tell you, 90% of corporations will be using AI for the interview process by 2025. 90% by 2025. 75% of them use them to craft and draft interviewing questions today. One of the things I tell my candidates, you can also use it to prep by telling it, ask me some questions for project manager role that are behavioral. I would ask for behavior questions. I would ask for personality questions. I would ask for technical questions, because there's different types of questions that go into the interview process, and then ask it to give you feedback. When you ask it for feedback, it's going to give you feedback as far as what that interviewer is listening to. You know, so I will tell you that those are the statistics we normally don't talk about, are what our company does, just because that's, you know, it's proprietary. But looking at the statistics, absolutely, they are using it. They are leveraging it. And when I looked at the last numbers on last month when I was doing that, I was like, wow, that's a whole lot of people using it. 75% of recruiters are using it. And a lot of the benefits for them is the ease of the process, the removing some inadequate candidates up front in the beginning, efficiencies, and saving money. And so AI has severely disrupted the human resources industry. And although there are some good ways it has done so, there are some not so good ways it has done so. And there's just so much more to explore with that.
I was just going to add, if I may, the one side, I read something again just recently about how AI has really helped somebody with a disability, someone who is blind, to be able to better prepare for things, right? So there's some huge values, but I think the point that you both brought up at the end of the day is the being very authentic as to how you use that data. Because, you know, God forbid you use what AI told you to use, you made up something that really wasn't quite there, then you get asked the question about it. Tell us how you used that. What are you going to do then? Do you want to be in that position? Because that'll basically throw you off the list right immediately if somebody doesn't feel comfortable with you in terms of what you're saying you have. So just be cautious. Thank you, Renee.
Yeah. I wanted to look at the worker trust or the lack thereof. While AI technology is, you know, there's definitely benefits and value to using it. But if you look at kind of like a labor union situation, right? They're always afraid of technology because they feel like it's going to eliminate their jobs. Now, without the worker trust, though, the benefits of AI will not be fully realized, because you can have the algorithm working perfectly, but if the worker isn't trained or motivated to use it, then, you know, how good is your AI system? So definitely getting the buy-in from the worker is crucial. It really, really is. And, you know, that's part of your change management process. because people don't quite know what's going to happen. Or is their job going to be eliminated? You know, it might just be a situation of reskilling, right? You may not be doing the exact same job, but you might be reskilled or upskilled so that you can handle the new technology. And there are some people that are fast adopters on that, but there are those that, you know, kind of just drag their feet because they don't know where they're going to land and if they can learn the new technology. So companies definitely need to be very sensitive to that and not hit people over the head with AI technology, even though I know from a business standpoint, it may make sense, right?
Yeah. I was told something a long time ago that if you sit and worry about some sort of automation taking your job and get scared and don't want to learn it because it could take your job, probability is it will. If you embrace and decide, I'm going to learn and I'm going to tackle this and I'm going to master this, you suddenly show a value that's even more important to the employer. So as long as you're working on how to eliminate work and automate work, you're always going to be one of those employees that will be in high demand. Just keep that in mind. Okay, yeah, well, Carla, let's talk a little bit about our statistics. I think that's where we're at now, right?
I want to add one more for the concerns. One concern that is not often mentioned, but it's coming more and more to mind. I was talking to, oh my gosh, what is the role? The people that are in charge of sustainability and equity and the resources, the natural resources. Oh. And some of the things that AI do are consume a substantial amount of energy. So environmental costs and the carbon emissions and water consumption that could be related to AI is just another area of concern, which I wanted to bring it up because I thought it was pretty interesting and not something that I knew about. But yeah, it was interesting. And right now, just like, oh, let me bring that up. And I see Don had another question, performance evaluations. Don, I'm happy to have that statistic for you as well. 68% of managers or leadership say that they use AI for performance evaluations. And how will it affect AI? I think we're going to see that as a shifting thing. There's going to be some wins. There's going to be some cons. There's going to be some, oh, I don't know what the heck we just did and that. So it's going to be one of those cycles that until it lands, we won't know. And by until it lands, I mean, it's like there's still so much left to be done when it comes to leveraging AI and to understanding AI. That's going to be one of those questions that we might be asking even in 5 years. But yes, great questions. I just want to say thank you for our live audience for joining us today. It's been great seeing those questions. But let's get to some more statistics before we start wrapping up. So the global AI market is worth $150.2 billion and is projected to rise in 2024. So that is something substantial. So it's not going to go away. When something's that profitable, guess what? We're going to use it and use it until we can't use it no more. Around 97 million people are expected to work in AI by 2025. So Lolly brought a great point. Don't let it own your job and earn your job. Let it work with your job. So get familiar with it, learn it, you know, just get familiar with it. The industry value of AI is projected to rise by 13 times over the next 7 years, which is good news for AI-oriented businesses in 2024. And Don, that kind of goes further into your question, but how? We don't know yet, right? 83% of organizations worldwide claim that AI is a top priority for their business processes. Again, goes back to the efficiencies, goes back to saving costs and aligning, you know, some of the monies that we have with less headcount. So AI improves the productivity of 61% of employees. There goes a lot of those repetitive tasks that we used to manually do. It's now improved because there's a process automated for it. 35% of companies globally use AI, which is why this is a global concern for some areas. 42% of businesses reported that they plan to use AI in the future. That's a no-brainer, right? We're going to see it grow. So we know that that's happening. But 42% is a substantial number there. More than 80% of executives form the retail and consumer industry plan to use AI automation for their businesses by 2025. And we've seen a lot of that happen, guys. A lot of these apps where we're ordering from, you see stores closing on a regular, the retail can understand the consumer better through the algorithms that are being formulated. Macy's is shutting down some stores. And I feel guilty because I order off of Macy's online all the time now. So just knowing the implications from AI have a lot to do with our habit and a lot to do with our practices and how much of the world would it continue to evolve through. It's going to be a lot with the actions that we take going forward. So those are some statistics we wanted to share with you all.
That's really crazy when you think about, you know, the changes. We're talking just 1 year in terms of the growth. I mean, that's pretty crazy, right? I mean, I think there's no doubt we are at the beginning of that golden age of AI and solving problems that were once in the realm of science fiction. We thought, you know, well, gosh, we wouldn't have robots. Now we have robots delivering food, right? So that's actually a quote from Jeff Bezos, right? I think it'll be interesting to see how it is. I challenge you to find the fascination in it and how to tackle it and master it rather than to be afraid of it. And also don't get lazy by it. Don't get lazy by it, because even like that question that Dawn asked about the performance evaluations, if you let them do it all for you, are you really understanding your employees and how you can help develop them? There's a value to what you do yourself. Be efficient, use it, but know it where you have to come back in and add your own personal touch. Renee, I'll let you do the closing.
Okay. I mean, this was an impactful discussion. So interesting, so interesting. I mean, we could probably go on and on, and we may revisit this later, topic. I want to say a big thank you to our live audience, and thank you to all of our listeners for joining the pod crew today. A final thought on this particular topic that, you know, we can surely conclude that the AI software development market has a profitable future. It's because AI plays such an integral part of both the present and the future. So keep that in mind. So with that said, we hope you learned something new and or came away with something of value on this topic. As promised, here's how to join us as an audience member on our next show episode. We hope you're just as excited as we are. You can go to True Talk Cafe Facebook page and send us a request to attend season 3, episode 4 as an audience member. Be sure to use the hashtag TTCS3EP4. That's TTCS3EP4. We will respond to your request with our podcast website link, where you'll need to enter your preferred email address for us to send the audience link. We'll also send all audience members a reminder the day before the show recording. It's going to be so much fun to have you join us live on the next episode. As always, we welcome your feedback, so please let us know your thoughts about today's show. Leave a comment or review. We will respond to all comments. Please be nice. We'd love to hear your thoughts about today's topic. Please do not forget to like and rate the episode. We appreciate you tuning into our podcast, and we hope you join the TTC Crew Facebook page. Again, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook using @TrueTalkCafe. And please use the hashtag TTC Talks or True Talk Tuesdays. Recommendations for discussion topics are always welcome. We want to ensure we are providing content that is of value to you. So don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Thanks for listening. And we hope you join us on the next podcast episode. It's sure to be an engaging conversation. Talk soon. Bye, everybody.